Okay, welcome to a brand new episode with your life coaching Sheena here on Radio Anchor FM. Today it's a brand new episode of the new season, and as I previously told you guys on the other episode, I'm going to have more and more guests coming in to talk about their journey and to share with all of us some gems about life lessons and challenges that they face, that we all face. First of all, before I start the episode, I want to thank everyone that always tune into my podcast and all the messages, all the people that supports me all the time. Thank you so much. So fall is finally here. Summer is over. The days are getting shorter. And this is spooky season as well. It's Halloween coming soon. Even though I don't celebrate Halloween, but it is spooky season for the collective. So if you guys celebrate it, have fun and be careful. So today I am here with my very first guest, and I'm very excited because I met this girl during, how can I call it? It was like a course. Is it like a program of different women? And it happens that I didn't finish it, but it was great because I get to experience certain things with these women, and as well I got to meet some people. And one of these women is this beautiful girl that I have in today that I kind of work with as well before. We're collaborating a couple of things that we've done for her as well, for her YouTube channel. And her name is Teresa.
Yay!
So I'm having a cappuccino and she's having a tea because yes, it's cold outside, honey. So we need to keep us warm.
That's right.
So we are in this cafe environment. I wanted to make it very, very natural and very chill.
And cozy.
And very cozy because it's cuffing season.
Yes.
We were just talking about being cuffed. Not in that way, guys. But it's in like relationship wise and men, etc. And child, there's always some drama. Right? There's never like a time that it's just like, oh,
peace,
wow,
and harmony.
You know? I just want to hear one of my girlfriends say, yo, I found the perfect man. I am so happy. This man treats me. Everyone, there's always something. Okay, women, we complain a lot. Especially me. I have to say, like, we complain a lot. But there's not much quality out there.
That's true. I think that the reason why we do complain a lot is because, I won't say a complaint, but I would say if you have a high standard, if you know yourself, you will expect the man that's coming to your space to kind of meet your standard.
Of
course. And when they don't, you're like, I need someone that can meet my standards.
Of course, so of course.
I wouldn't really say complain. I would just say, you know what, I know who I am. If you come into my space, you better step up. Otherwise,
you better come correct.
Exactly.
So, Teresa, obviously you are my very first guest.
Yay.
Like, I know what you do, and I know a little bit, obviously, about your background and who you are and stuff like that. But tell the people then.
The people them.
Who you are.
Hi guys. Thank you so much, Sheena, for having me.
Sure.
I'm so excited to be the first guest. I'm like, I feel so privileged, you know.
Yes, honey.
So thank you so much for having me. My name is Teresa P. I am Angolan.
Mm-hmm.
I am African.
Yeah.
I am black.
Yes. You guys need to see, I'm going to take a picture of you after. Because you guys need to see her. She's got this beautiful look.
Aww.
Short hair with this blonde.
Girl, you trying to gas me up?
Yeah, no, honestly. Black is beautiful. Anyway, carry on.
Thank you so much. So I'm coming from a family of like six. There's six of us, two boys and four girls. I'm a mother. I got a son. He's 2 years old.
Beautiful son, by the way. So gorgeous.
He's 2 years old. And yeah, like I'm coming from a African background, immigrant background, basically. Mm-hmm. My parents immigrated from Angola. They came here for a better life, mm-hmm. and they actually did provide a better life for us because all of us have already, not all of us, those who are at age have already graduated, and mm-hmm. you know, so we are very thankful to our parents from taking us from,
of course,
you know, African country where there was a lot of poverty, there was war, mm. and bringing us into a safe country. So mm. I'm super, super, super proud of my parents, mm. and obviously my siblings who are doing really well. Mm. Yeah, we are very close-knit family. Like, we keep everything just to ourselves. We're very reserved as well.
Yes,
but they see me as the rebellion one. I don't understand why.
There's always that one.
But I think because I'm more adventurous and more creative as well.
Yes, it's always like that.
Yeah,
true.
So when you're more creative, you need
your space.
Exactly. You tend to be more out there.
Yeah.
But the rest of my family, we're very like close-knit family. We're just very reserved.
Mm.
And yeah, that's basically my background. Like I said, I'm Angolan.
Yes. So you live in London.
I live in London.
And you grew up in London.
But I would say yeah. Mm. I've been here for like 10 years.
Mm.
But I also stayed in Spain as well. So I spent some of my childhood in Spain.
Oh, mamacita.
You know. yeah, tú sabes.
Mm.
So I spent some of my time in Spain, like my childhood in Spain. It was wonderful. Mm. It was amazing.
I can totally relate that to you because just like you, I'm from Seychelles, and then I grew up in Italy, and then I came here 11 years ago. So the stories, you see, like the stories are very similar. And it's amazing because, you know, we both are seen or have been seen from our family as the rebellious, as the ones that don't want to follow the rules, the ones that think that they can do the things their own way. But because obviously our creativity and the way we want to express ourselves, that we cannot be compact
we cannot be placed in the box. Basically, we're just gonna explode that box and run away, or just, you know, occupy different spaces. And that's the beauty of creativity. You cannot stay in one place because there is so much that is bursting inside of you
that needs
to be birthed inside of you, that you cannot stay in one place.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that about creative people.
Yes, and I remember when I moved from Seychelles to Italy, it was a bit of a shock because coming from Ireland and moving to this city that everything is so different and people are talking a different language that you don't understand.
True.
They're eating different food, and this different smell, the different clothes, different people, the way they look, you know, everything is so different. So you feel like a fish out of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And I relied obviously mostly on my mom because I never met my father, so my mom was my everything. So when we moved to Italy, she obviously was together, not first, but after a while she came and took me and we moved together. And I felt like I was so needy of my mom and also protective at the same time. Because I feel like she was the only thing that reminded me of home, or the only thing that it was like, how did you feel with that transaction? Because people don't understand that is a kind of a trauma.
It is.
And taking you away from everything that you know. To go and be somewhere else because your family are trying to be better for you, mainly because it's not really for themselves. They do it mainly for their child, their kid. It's for themselves a trauma because the moving and the papers and the documents and are we gonna know where are we gonna work and how we're gonna have money and all of that. And then the kids, how did that affect you? Do you remember that feeling?
You know what? I haven't actually thought about it. That's actually a good question. I haven't actually processed the whole thing, how it made me feel or anything like that. I haven't actually spoken to anybody about it.
Mm.
So this is kind of the first time I'll be talking about it.
Oh.
Like, the transition in itself is very scary because, like you mentioned, you're going, you're moving from your familiarity to somewhere where it's foreign.
Mm.
You don't know anybody, you don't know their language, you don't know how people are going to receive you, you don't know absolutely nothing about the country where you're going. And it's very scary for a child who, you know, had to leave their parents to kind of migrate to Spain. And when I arrived in Spain, it was okay because kind of the language is kind of similar, you know, the Portuguese and the Spanish.
Of course, is very similar. Yeah.
So the transition from Angola to Spain wasn't as difficult because of the language was, you know, I could understand a few things. And I think that the most interesting thing of it is the fact that when I was in Spain, they used to tell me, when you go to England, you're only going to eat fish and chips. And even when I was in Angola, they would tell me, you only see white people in England. It's always going to be cold, snowy. The sun never shines in that country.
Well, it wasn't really a lie, was it?
The sun never shines in
Let's
that country.
Be honest.
You're just going to eat fish and chips all the time. So I was just like, it was kind of scary. I'm like, I'm used to my traditional food. For me to leave all of these for fish and chips only.
My God.
I'm leaving a sunny place for me
That's a trauma right there.
It is a trauma and a half. For me to end up in a country that is always cold, always snowy. Like, I'm not excited to come.
Yeah.
But when I arrived in 2006 in the UK, I had the shock of my life. It was the hottest summer.
Wow.
It was so hot. I saw black people.
Wow, you see?
I saw black people. It was so hot. And my whole perception of what the country was meant to be, it was totally different. So I was just like, what? So did they lie to me? Like, it's not even like, I came in with a huge jacket thinking it's going to be so cold.
What month was it? Do you remember?
It was July.
Oh, was July with a jacket.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Because they told me.
No, but you're right. Because it's happened. Because we had times in July where it was actually jacket times.
Mm.
So, yes, it's not really summer in London. Mm. I mean, in England in general. But especially in London, it's just... You came in and you felt like they lied to me.
Yes, because it's very hot. What is this? But yeah, it was really interesting. But it was sad that I wasn't with my family.
Oh, you didn't come with your family.
I didn't come with my family.
Okay.
So the whole transition was.
So stayed in Spain.
They stayed in. Some of my family members were in Angola. Some of my family members were already here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the transition, me going, you know, going through all this transition by myself, it felt very scary.
Of course.
You know, it felt very scary. So I was terrified. I was traumatized because, like, I was alone. I didn't know the language.
Mm.
And coming to the UK was the same thing. Although my family were already here.
Mm.
But I was still a foreigner because I didn't speak the language.
Okay. None of it. None
Nothing
English.
At all.
Okay.
Nothing at all. So I learned the English.
But you live with your family. You guys stayed together in the house. You live together.
Yeah.
So in a way, you wasn't really alone because you had your family in a way, in the sense of, like, it's not that you didn't know where to go. You had a point. You had somewhere that you can still kind of call it home.
I see what you mean. No, in a way, I'm just talking about the transition from, like, Angola to Spain.
Of
I was
course.
Completely alone.
Yes, of course.
And then obviously from Spain to England, I wasn't alone because...
Yes. They were here.
They were here. The family were
of
here.
Of course.
And we reunited. It was really nice and etc. But it's... Going to school now.
How was that?
It was
how
horrible.
Did you relate? How did you relate to other kids, and how did other kids relate to you? And did your parents ever prepare you for school in a way of, like,
They never prepared me for school. Like, honestly, because when I was in Spain, I was lucky enough to be. I lived in Barcelona, so lucky enough to kind of be around mix of people.
Mm.
I was the only black, but there were people from Colombia, Bolivia, Ecuador.
Okay.
So it was not just like all authentic Spanish. They all came from. Someone came from South America, and Mexico, Ecuador, Costa Rica.
Mm.
So mixed Spanish speaking country. Mm-hmm. They were there, but I was the only black person. So when I came to the UK and then going to school where it's full of black people, I was just like,
You loved it.
I loved it, but then again, I was just like, I was basically labeled as the white child.
Really?
Because of how I I became very accustomed with the white people and how they do their things. So coming out to a school where it's full of black people.
Was it the way you behaved? The way you talked?
The way I was behaving, the way I was talking, how I was dressed. Mm-hmm. So like it was.
They kind of pushed you to the side.
Exactly.
You wasn't part of the crew.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't sit with us. Stop it.
Even the Angolans, like they were like, why do you speak like that? Your Portuguese don't even sound like Angolan Portuguese. It sounds very Portuguese from Portugal. I'm like you can be educated and still be black. There's nothing wrong with
that. That's one of it's the things like, that I don't understand.
You know
about
how some people say, oh, why do you sound so
white?
Yeah,
you sound
like,
so,
what do you mean?
Yeah, like black people are
educated.
We can talk and we can have a conversation, so we can use big words, we can be very polite, but yes, we can be ghetto and clap hands and snatch edges and
yes,
all of that. But we can also be very composed, very classy, very loyalty. Don't get this shit twisted.
That's right. Yeah.
And I think it's very important, and it's not about black women or black people in general being angry. It's simply about the fact, be ourselves, be authentic to who we are, and not feeling guilty or that we're doing something against someone or try to hurt anyone.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it shouldn't be like that, you know?
I think the anger thing comes from us being very passionate.
Oh, the angry black woman. Yes.
We're very passionate being.
We are. We have life.
Exactly. So when people see us being passionate, being very, you know, articulate, and we want to express ourselves, and because they don't know how to do that, so they classify as being loud and being, you know, whatever.
Ghetto.
But it's nothing to do with that. Just as we're really passionate about ourselves and our people and how we do certain things. So it's just a matter of a non-black person approaching and saying, oh, like, teach me about your culture. How can I learn more about yourself? So they can be more understanding towards how we do certain things and why we're so passionate about certain things and why we react the way we react.
Yeah.
It's just about being educated and having
the open mindset
and actually ask the questions and learn from
Absolutely. And what did you see, like, what was the difference that you saw? You said school was very hard for you. Why was it very hard?
Because I got bullied in school. Because, like, I was totally different.
Like, when you say different, what do you mean for
different? When I say different, I mean, like, I didn't behave like everybody else. Like, I was more in my corner while everybody else was chasing mandem, while everybody else were, like, trying to fight each other. Because I went to all-girls school.
Oh,
so,
meow, meow.
Yeah, all the time. There was a lot of fights all the time. But I was always in my corner. And I wasn't really getting involved in fights or anything like that. So people were like, who does she think she is? Was she acting like she's better than everybody else? It's not even that. It's just that I don't want to get involved in what you're doing.
You were smart enough to mind your business.
Exactly. But I was aware of what was going on.
Yes.
But I was just like, you know, like, I'm not getting involved in certain things.
Yes.
I just came here like a year or two ago.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to get my citizenship. So I can stay in the UK. Like, you're trying to bring trouble. Nah, let me stay in my corner.
Yeah.
And let me just study, because at the end of the day, my parents brought me in this country so I can study.
Yeah.
And I needed to be focused. I'm seeing a lot of black girls fighting each other, linking boys and all sorts. I'm just like, that's not what I came here for.
Of course.
So having that attitude and how I am, and in a sense where I'm very confident, so I embody that in how I walk and how I dress.
Yes.
So that, and people sometimes get intimidated by that, and they think, what does she think she is? Why are you walking like that? Or why would you, like, when I walk there's a presence in me. So it's just like I'm like, you know, that's just how I am.
Yes.
So people kind of get intimidated by that, and that's why I was bullied, because you know, people thought I was, you know, this whatever, and I didn't speak the language as well, so I was called freshie all the time.
Oh my god.
I'm just like, right, you try learn my language, and
yes, then, that's the thing,
you know,
because sometimes I remember as well that I used to get bullied with Italian. Obviously I perfectly speak Italian and everything, but I may have had like an accent or just say, and I was like, yeah, you try and speak the language
exactly
that I can speak, because you can't even speak your own language.
I'm
So it's like, please.
Yeah.
And it's just always the way of trying to find something to pick on somebody and make them feel low, because
they're not
gonna see them vulnerable.
Yeah.
You wanna see the vulnerability because you wanna feel strong, and that's really weakness and insecurity in that part.
It's basically them trying to portray their insecurity onto you when, like, oh, we're sharing chewing gum now.
Yeah, we're sharing we have one.
Thank you.
But yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, sharing the insecurity with you in a way of like betray the bad energy, the evil onto you, and that's just something that starts from very young age and from being school, and you say you feel different. Like, I don't think nobody should feel different. Do you know what I mean? So for us to feel, to be in that type of environment of being a kid where really you have no judgment, really you're just free and you're just enjoying life or what it is, whatever. For you to feel like, I felt different, I knew I was different, or, you know, like, we all felt, it's just sad.
I know, it was really, really sad. And I thought, because it's an all-girl school, they will have some sort of sisterhood, you know, but...
That's what you think.
Yeah.
We were just talking about that before, about how we wipe... Like, how can we have positive thoughts about other people, but then they ended up doing the total opposite? You're thinking, like,
I would never do.
You would never do such things.
Yeah.
So, of course, I'm not gonna think bad.
Yeah,
if you're telling me something that is nice, I believe in that.
Yeah.
And then you do something horrible, and it's just like, you know what I mean? Like, where did it come from? Because, so it's important to know who you are, because. Otherwise, you just...
That's true. I'm like, self-worth and self-belief is so important, because you find yourself in situations where it will require you to come... Like, the giant in you, it requires you to come out for you to kind of really overcome certain situations in your life, because people will really test you. They will press your button until, like, you crumble.
True.
And I don't know why people get the motivation to do that, but the importance, it goes back to the importance of knowing yourself and, and not allowing anybody else to really, you know, crash you to a point where you forget who you are.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And in your family, as, you know, Beyonce did the beautiful song Brown Skin Girls, and what I really loved about that song...
Okay, you're going to hate me, but I haven't heard the song.
Oh my God.
I'm practically the only
black
person.
Okay, guys, I'm closing this. See you later. Thank you for tuning. Bye.
I'm practically the only black person, I think, of 1% of the black people that have.
I cannot believe. I think you've definitely heard, even in the background.
I heard a little bit, but I haven't.
You might have been somewhere where they were playing this song, but because I cannot believe they've never heard that song. But anyway, you're going to listen to the song when you go home today.
Oh, wow.
And you're going to let me know what you think by Forbes. Because that tune, it is an anthem for brown women.
Mm.
And what I loved about it, it's not because obviously it's been written by Beyonce, because she never fails. Mm. You know, your girl, she's always know what she's doing. But
I love her work ethic, though.
She's so... Listen, I went to see her concert by accident.
Oh, wow.
Yes, wow. I wasn't even meant to go. I wasn't prepared to pay any money. I didn't pay any money. It was a gift. And I had a great experience. And what I remembered is that she is such a great artist, because everything was perfect. The performance, the music, the lighting, the equipment, everything
was
perfect. And her work ethic, the way she's so on point with her voice, with the dance and everything, she gives her best. And, you know, I think it's important that if you have people that look up to you, you give your best, you take your work. Like, she takes it very seriously. But that's a very old school thing of artists that these days no one does, because unfortunately it's seen as like, oh yeah, I'm a rapper, you know, oh yeah, I'm an R&B singer, that, I mean, I'm a superstar or I'm a celebrity or whatever. But Beyonce, like, she's one of those artists that really, she's an artist.
Yeah.
So her work ethic, yes, amazing. So the song, to go back to the topic, the song Brown Skin Girl, I love it so much, because when I listen to the song, I think I wish my mom told me these beautiful things, because she's really singing it to her daughter and telling her, you know, like, you're brown skin girl, you're beautiful. And then she's singing it to all beautiful brown skin girls. And I'm talking about dark skin, light skin, any do it. There's no such thing that we all black, brown women. It's not about, oh yeah, but I'm dark skinned, so I'm black and you're not black. No, there's white people these are black people. The beauty about us, they were so mixed, so different. Lighter complexion, darker complexion, longer hair, shorter hair, straight, curly, whatever. Blue eyes with darker tones. We are just
creativity at its best.
And people need to understand that, and the first people that need to understand that is ourselves. We need to stop putting wars against ourselves for no reason, because that's what they aim to. That's what the other part wants us to do. And until we don't break the chain, that chain, and we stop focusing on that, and we actually focus on sisterhood, brotherhood, a community of black people that is moving forward, that is doing great things, that is elevating each other, then things are gonna stay the same, because we are the only one that can change things. And people like you, people like me, people like so many others, our listeners, that have seen their parents, have seen their past being in a certain way, and get motivated by it, like, I gotta do something about it, I gotta be something more. There's something more. The people, these are the people that change the world, because people don't believe that there's something more, that for you to get something more, you have to do some type of, you have to do the most crazy thing, you have to sell your soul, or you have to downgrade yourself, doing things that you're not meant to do, are not good for your soul, not good for your spirit, not good for no one. Because you're trying to reach a level that doesn't exist, and that level should be reached firstly internally, rather than materialistically and physically. That comes with everything else after. So you move now to England, you went to school, you're going through all these situations with being bullying, because you felt different, because the way you are, you stay true to yourself. This is who you are. At that time, what was you going home to? Like, did you have parents that were telling you, Terrence, how was your day, how's school? Do you have anybody that you could talk to about those experiences, and or you felt that you was alone again?
Girl, I haven't spoken about this. Going back home, I feel like, I don't know if it was my own mind playing tricks with me, or my lack of understanding of certain things. And, you know, going home after school, it was fine, because I had my sister, I had my dad. My dad is a workaholic, and he's one of the guys, the men that I know has amazing and fantastic work ethic. That man can work, and he's a provider. So,
That's a great example for a woman to see.
Definitely.
Because that's what you expect from your partner that you want to have.
Definitely. Yeah, if I have a man who cannot provide, I just know that it's not the right.
Don't want no broke man.
No. So, yeah, going back to the question. I was going back to a very safe home, a very good environment where I was able to, you know, express myself and talk and stuff like that. The only issue for me was that... I'm coming from Spain to the UK, right? So when I basically went to Spain, I basically forgot the language, like Portuguese. It happens a lot.
That's
the thing
of
the language. When you don't practice, when you don't speak, it kind of dies down.
That happened to me as well. When I learned Italian, I completely forgot Creole. And I was so sad, because I couldn't understand my family talking to me on the phone, or what my mom was saying.
And it's like they would speak to you in your native language, and you responding to a different language.
Yes.
It was mad.
It was... you're absolutely right. That happens.
So obviously, me going to Spain, I forgot Portuguese. Not that I forgot completely, I could still understand it, but when someone would speak to me in Portuguese, I would reply in Spanish, because I forgot to speak. So when I arrived to the UK, my family now at home, they speak Portuguese and English.
Okay.
So I'm coming to now a foreign environment, although it's my family, but still foreign. Because I now do not speak Portuguese anymore, just Spanish. So now having to communicate to them in Spanish, it was stressful because they couldn't really understand what I was saying. They will kind of make up what I'm trying to say, but not everything. So I had to kind of, you know, it was very stressful because I had to express, it became very difficult for me to express myself at home.
Of course.
So if I was being bullied in school, explaining now that I was being bullied,
my God, yes.
It was a bit difficult because
yes.
I wasn't sure how to express it or how to kind of communicate that, you know.
And that makes you even frustrating to show your emotions.
Exactly.
Because you're trying to find
ways to kind of communicate that, listen,
yeah.
In school I'm having a hard time and this is how I'm feeling.
So how did you overcome all of that?
That's a good question. I kind of just, like, I met people in school,
okay,
who spoke Spanish as well.
Okay.
So
you kind of create a little
crew where we just hang around together. So even though if the class was a little bit hard, I know after school or in a break, on a playground, I have my friends there who spoke Spanish. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of had my back and stuff like that. And even after school, I had social life where I would go to my friend's house who speaks Spanish.
Oh, that's
nice. And some
of
them who spoke Portuguese as well.
Okay.
So we just kind of just hang around together. And then that.
So things improved.
Things improved, definitely.
Nice.
It made it better for me having people who understood where I was coming from, in a sense where being a foreigner in a country and also speaking the language, and I was able to, you know, express myself to them. This is what I'm going through. How did you guys manage to kind of, did you guys went through bullying as well? Some of them they went through as well.
Wow.
And
so you kind of started your little, like, a counseling.
Yes.
Little thing in school.
Yes.
So that's great. Think about it. That's great. That's leadership.
So it was,
you kind of wanted to do something about it, and you
definitely
made it. You've done a little something there.
I think I've always been, I've always been the type of person that want to bring community together.
Yeah.
That I want to bring some sort of change and understanding into why certain things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been a people's person. So I've always had a heart for the people and the community.
Collective,
If you're going for something, like, I always have the sympathy and the heart of, oh, I want to help. I want to make sure she's all right. I want to make sure that she doesn't feel like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always had that
quality
in me.
That's a great quality to have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the world needs definitely more selfless people, because there's a lot of selfishness. So we need more selfless people. So the reason why I said you was kind of creating a little counseling already, it's cool, which is the truth. Because I think in everything that we do in life, there's a seed that is planted and then it's flourishing. You might not know that that's going to be a flower.
Mm.
That you just see the leaf, but you don't know what kind of flower it is.
True.
You don't know if you're going to like it.
Yeah.
You don't know if it's going to be good enough, and you don't know whatever. And the flowers is just there, flourishing by itself. And the rain is getting the water, the sun, and everything. So everything is working out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But sometimes, a lot of time, we worried because we can't see the finish, the finished progress.
Yeah.
So at that time, you was planting the seed to then become the woman that you are today.
Wow.
And
that's a revelation, mate.
Yes.
Honestly, you know, sometimes you just do things because it's in your heart to do. It's out of the abundance of your heart.
Of
you don't think of it, oh, I'm actually sowing a seed for a future.
No one thinks that, of course. No one. You see that after because it's part of the journey. You don't need to know everything straight away.
True.
You need to find out things for yourself in your own timing, making your own mistakes and having your glories and all that type of thing. So you've planted the seed.
I was gonna say, but it's very wise of you to recognize that though.
Yes. Oh, thank you. So we also touch on the topic that you have a kid.
Yes.
And how old is he?
He's two, my little munchkin. He's 2-year-old. Yeah, he's 2-year-old. It's giving me a headache at the moment, but I am expecting it because, you know, when you're two, you know, you become like a teenager where you are aware of things now, and you want to basically get away with things because you now know what certain things means, what you should and shouldn't do. So yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
And your son gave you the inspiration to start your great community of young mothers.
Yeah.
And your programs or your movement, it's called Moms at First Sight.
Yes.
So talk us a little bit about that.
So Moms at First Sight is basically, it's just what it says. It's me experiencing motherhood for the first time, me seeing my son for the first time, me moving from my parents' house to my own place for the first time. It's me basically now being by myself for the first time. So it's experiencing everything, motherhood, me growing as a woman for the first time. That's when Moms at First Sight came about. And my main inspiration to why I started Moms at First Sight is my son.
Mm-hmm.
And also understanding who I was.
Mm-hmm.
Who I am. You know, I read the Bible and understood who God says that I am. And then from there, the whole transition began. And I started also Moms at First Sight because I was going through a postnatal depression, and I basically was just like, wait a minute, why am I feeling the way I'm feeling? Why am I going through what I'm going through? Could it be that other mothers are experiencing the same thing?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the first time me experiencing all of this.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone else somewhere out there, I don't know where, maybe experiencing the same thing that I'm experiencing.
Yeah.
So that's where I created this community of women that will come together to empower one another to be the best version of ourselves. And also to remind ourselves that, you know, just because we are mothers, it does not mean you're no longer a woman, the life is over, that you can never be yourself anymore. You can still achieve, you can still do, you know, you can still have that creative mind or whatever it is that you want to do. You know, being a mother, it gives you that push, that determination,
the motivation
to do more. Especially when you are on maternity leave, you will find a lot of things to do. You will start creating projects, you will do a lot of different things.
So was that something that you was kind of doing while you was expecting, or that happened after?
That happened after, because I moved into a new area and obviously experiencing postnatal depression. I wanted to basically connect with people that were going through similar situation, but I didn't want just to be with people who were just feeling sorry for themselves. Oh my god,
victims,
basically having that victim mindset. No, I wanted to connect with people that, yes, I'm going through this, but I know there's hope at the end of the tunnel, that I want to improve myself, I want to do it for myself and for my child as well. Because a lot of people that they go through really tough time and they stay in that environment or in that mindset.
Yeah.
There is more. You are more than just your depression.
Of course.
You are more than just your mental health problem. You are more than just a mother. There is more to you than just being a mother who is depressed, or than just being a mother who has broken up with the baby father. Uh-huh. You're more than just that.
Of course.
So.
And that was something that you wanted to do because you feel like it didn't also had, there wasn't much of this stuff happening around.
In my area.
So in your area.
Yeah.
So you kind of thought, hold on, let me do something about
it.
Again, you took the situation under control and you made a change.
Yeah.
And I've been a guest speaker. I've been hosting your
event,
your amazing event. And there's always a bunch of people, of women, that are so loving, they're so kind, and they're so grateful for what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're there to support, but also to contribute to this journey. And it's beautiful because you see them also grow through what you do.
Yeah.
And to find somewhere where they can be and they feel safe and they feel there's a sisterhood and they feel like they can talk freely about their challenges without feeling judged or without feeling that, you know, people might look
down
at them or get down or differently.
Yeah.
It's a great thing. And it's a great thing because you're doing it for the collective. You're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for the collective.
Mm-hmm.
And
because I have a passion to see. I love seeing a woman, especially black women, achieve.
Yes.
I'm like, yes, girl. I see you. I'm
of
proud
course,
of you.
Of course.
Love it. I get so excited when I see a woman striving.
That's how it's supposed to be.
A mother who's gone through a really tough time and now they're striving, they're doing better, they're improving their lives. I love it. I feel there's a fire in me that I feel. I'm just like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And when I tell my friends, like, you guys really inspire me and stuff like that, they're like, no, you inspire me. Look at what you do. I'm like, no, honestly, you guys are doing an amazing thing. But they sometimes people don't see their journey.
It's
true. Just living, yeah. But they don't see the journey that they're making.
Yeah.
So I always like to hear also the feedback of people that come to Mom's the First Sight events.
Yes.
You know, how some of them have felt depressed and now they feel like, you know, they can now talk about their issue without, you know, feeling like it's a taboo. Because that's exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to break the taboo. Because I feel like in our community, when it comes to mental health, now it's being more exposed and we're talking about it more.
Yeah.
And there's more events
but
happening.
But still it's not.
Still, it's something that we constantly have to talk about it until it's normalized in our homes.
Yes.
Like if you know a friend or a family member is going through a really tough time, for you to have the boldness and saying, listen, babes, you need some counseling. Do you want me to go with you to get some counseling and stuff like that? It should be normalized at home and we shouldn't feel as if we're not allowed to cry. We're not allowed to feel some type of way. It's emotions. Emotions are meant to be expressed and not suppressed.
Absolutely. So, and I think the fact that a lot of time these emotions get suppressed, that's why it brings people to then make bad decisions for their life. And that creates a sort of unstable state of mind.
Yes.
And especially when you have a child, you have to look after a child.
Yes.
It's the state of mind is so important.
Yeah, definitely.
And when you are in those dark times and you're alone and you have a child to look after, it's just hard.
Yeah, that's...
So what you do, actually, it's so important because you could literally save people's life.
Wow.
Because you're giving them some sort of hope.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe there's light.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try this.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows what happens when they come down to your event. Because Teresa's event is really good. Because apart from the fact that she has different speakers coming in. They do different things. They do amazing things. She has amazing sponsors. So she's a different charity. She does great things regarding health as well, to give nice tips to women how to look after the things that they eat, how to look after their body and the family, etc., etc. She has a lot to do with community, and you have a lot of recognition for that as well, because obviously you help a lot of women, and you give women the chance to speak.
Yeah.
What was emotional for you what was the emotional part when you started Mom's at First Sight? How did you, what was your emotion? How did you feel? And I think when you get to the point is that you kind of look back in your life and you think, oh my God, like me, I came from there, I've done this, and now I'm doing this, this is exactly what I wanted to do, I never thought. How did you feel?
To be honest, like, I haven't actually grasped the idea of where I am right now.
It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, because I don't really think about it.
Uh-huh.
It is very emotional, especially when I see people's feedback and how much they have been impacted by the things that I do. Not just with the events, because I also sometimes, you know, people are free. Those who are close to me, that they have my numbers, they call me if they're going through a very tough time, if they can't do certain things. They call me and we go through certain, like, stages of how to calm down and how I can sometime go with them to an interview or go with them to
it's amazing,
to whatever it is that they want, that they're doing, that they need extra support. So sometimes I have to kind of leave, take my son to my family, and then I'll go with them. And sometimes what I do also, when I do have events outside Moms at First Sight that will benefit one of the ladies, then I'll bring them along so that they can experience and network with different...
They can network
with different people that will help them whatever endeavor that they want to do. So it's more than just... this little community that you see on social media with posting, blah, blah, blah. Cool. It's deeper than that, you know, because I really want to see women being the best of themselves and really achieving their goals and living their purpose. Like, we've all been created to do something.
Absolutely.
And sometimes life experiences, negative life experiences, stops us from achieving our goals. Mm. It stops us from reaching our purpose. But when you have people around you that can help you, even just... you know, a little text message or a little, let me come with you to your appointment, something like that can really help somebody.
Of course, so you continue to do the work outside.
Even outside, because I just feel like, I don't know, like I cannot turn down someone that needs, another lady who needed my help, like she got an event coming up and she needs my help, like I'm busy too, but I'm like, okay, if your assistant is not there, let me come and help you
out.
Of course. So I feel that's like good. That's how we need to carry on with the community, because there are people who really need our help. And if you know a mother who is about to give birth, my friend's friend, she has a baby shower and she's about to give birth, and then she's like, oh, do you want to come around and then just like introduce yourself and what you do? I was like, yeah, I don't mind coming. Yes. I'll bring some gifts for her as well. Because, you know, transition for me from being a woman who doesn't have a child to now a woman who is pregnant, it's really hard. And it's the first time also being a mother. So it's going to be really, really hard for her and stuff like that.
Yeah. And you understand that because you're mom's first time.
And then I went through, you know, being pregnant, obviously I had a partner with me, but
I want to touch on that as well, because I think it's important that people knows as well how much it's important to have the support of your partner.
Oh, definitely.
And how can that affect us women as much as strong as we can be, and that they don't take that role seriously. And especially as Black women, we go through a lot of that, and we've heard a lot of that in the past. Our own parents, I mean personally as well from my background, but I think in general in the Black family, you always hear, oh, I don't know my dad, or I never grew up with my dad mainly. And sometimes you hear about, oh, I don't know my mom or stuff like that, but there's never the things of that, and that's really sad. But you believed in the family, you wanted things to work out. But at the end of the day, it's good it didn't work out, because it wasn't someone that relationship wise with you was meant to be for you.
Definitely.
And how did that affect you as well and in your journey? Because that must have been as well a time for you where you didn't really feel yourself, and you felt down, and you didn't have much
self-confidence. Yeah, definitely. A breakdown in a family always does that. Like, it will basically take you from someone who is in a relationship with someone who has the support, and then all of a sudden you no longer have the support of your partner. It's really difficult, because at the end of the day, you didn't make the child by yourself.
Of course.
It took two to tango. So the same way it takes two people to raise a child, you know, doing it by yourself is extremely hard. Especially if you don't have like sisters or brothers or cousins, if you don't have the family around you, it's super difficult.
Super hard, isn't it?
And so like, I was in a relationship, the father was there, I was basically in a relationship. The father was there, and he was throughout my pregnancy. We was together until obviously I gave birth, and then a year later we had to break it off, because although he's a great father, I'm not gonna lie, he's a great father to my son, but he was not a great partner to me.
Of course.
And within before even breaking it off, I tried to work it out, because I really truly believed in a family. And the reason why obviously I had a child. Obviously I gave birth to my son. I became pregnant. It was because I had a family. It was a solid relationship back then, and for it to break down, it was such it was very sad. It was very, very, very tough, because this is someone that I've known since I was 18. I'm 26 now, and it was really, really, really hard, and it made me feel like nobody will ever love me, nobody will ever care for me. I have a child now, what am I gonna do? Who's gonna look at me the same?
Of course.
My body don't look the same anymore. I put on weight, and my confidence went so low and so down.
Of course.
That was just like,
what did you do at that point?
At that point, I was so isolated. So isolated from,
because
like,
people don't really talk much about that. Everybody's talking about the snapback.
Snapback. Oh my god! I'm not snapping back, because I had, honestly, I had my son.
I'm not snapping back.
No, I'm not gonna allow anybody to pressurize me to that point.
Yes,
because at the end of the day, like, I had. It took me 9 months to cook my baby, and for you to pressurize me to lose the weight for what reason? Like, I'm not doing it. I'll take my time, and I think that my mind was so strong at that point where I didn't allow the celebrities, the people that I had that gave birth.
Yes. No one
to pressurize me to lose the weight, to go back to the size that I was. I'm like, excuse me, no, you didn't push the baby for me. You didn't go for the pains I was going through. I'll take my time.
Because it's not easy.
No, but I was actually loving the shape that I...
Yes.
The weight went everywhere. Yeah. I had the bum, everything was kind of proportioned.
Uh-huh, of course.
So nothing was like out of place like that. Obviously, I was bigger. I went from being a size 10 to the size 18, 20. That was a huge change.
I know, but you know, you was having a baby and your body's changing and everything. So, but you managed to overcome all of that. You look absolutely amazing.
Thank
You're taking
you.
Care more of yourself.
Definitely.
Mom's at First Sight is growing. Even on your Instagram page, you have more people as well interacting and loving what you do and taking interest in what you do and wanting to come down to the event.
Yeah.
If you are in London, the event, you can find it on Instagram, Moms at First Sight. All the information's as well for your tickets. You're gonna have another event soon in November. She does an event pretty much every month with different type of workshop.
Yes.
Before we close our lovely chat,
oh my god, it's so
tell me your favorite quote, because I love quotes. Tell me one of your favorite quotes. And let's see if I can retweet that today, because I love a tweet.
Oh my god, girl. You put me on the spot, because I'm just like, what is even my favorite quote?
Something that you use usually in your life, and you're thinking that's something that you usually use to kind of like help you out in a moment of like, oh, I don't know, things didn't go quite right. So you use that quote, or there's something that represents your life, and that's, it's like Bible for you about,
I'm looking at my, because I wrote
looking
few,
at.
I'm looking at my phone because I wrote a few quotes that I usually say.
She's got lists of quotes. Oh my
I've
God.
Got lists of quotes that I usually say.
Don't tell me that you're looking at Drake's album and you're taking quotes from Drake.
No, not even.
Shout out to Drake still.
Okay, so I got one, and one is fear will stop you from achieving your goals. Faith will take you where your fear can't go.
Yes, high five to that, because I actually love that. And it's true, walk by faith, don't walk by sight. And Teresa, as me, as other women, as other people, as other men as well in the world, brand women that have gone through such a journey, moving from different country, go through different trauma, bullying, racism, acceptance, being a young mother.
Ooh, talking about racism, sorry to cut. I actually experienced racism in Spain, but I didn't know what it was.
Oh wow!
I didn't know what it was because I was not educated about what racism looked like. So I didn't know what it was. So I remember one time. In school, like primary school in Spain, some of the guys were like, oh, let me see your hands, why is your hand so tough, da 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 da. I'm like, oh, I didn't understand what that meant.
Oh, okay, it's true.
Only when I came to the UK that obviously it was more aware. There was a lot more black people, so like I was aware of what racism was, and we also studied Black History Month in school. But in Spain, back then, I didn't know what it was, and. Even my hair is like, oh my god, let me touch your hair. Can I touch your hair?
Oh my god, hair don't like touch my hair. Okay.
So like, I experienced that, but I didn't know what it was until I came here that I became more woke.
Mm.
And but yeah, I experienced racism, and yeah.
It's one of those things that we, unfortunately, we go through. But as I always say, these are all situations that just has helped us mm-hmm. to become better, to become stronger.
And wiser.
And the fact is wiser, and the fact as well that you're using your past to do great things, mm-hmm. it's honorable. And I think why it's important that I share stories with other people and people knows about these type of stories is because it's empowering. It's because we all go through certain things, mm-hmm. and you know that somebody else has been through the same thing and they made it through and they're doing amazing mm-hmm. things. You have a beautiful son, you have things going on for yourself, you're a young mother, and you're successful because you're working on yourself, you're understanding what life is, mm-hmm. and you can never end understanding and growing, so mm-hmm. but as long as you are on the right path, I think that's what's most important.
Yeah.
Teresa, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. That was so fun.
Yes, thank you. We had a lovely chat, and yeah. I think you've said a lot of very positive stuff that can definitely be beneficial for so many people.
I hope it does help somebody.
Do you want to give your social media and your details, not yes. your phone number?
I'm going to get best stalking me and stuff like that. You can follow me on Instagram, Moms at First Sight, all together. You can email me at empower.woman@yahoo.com.
Yay! Yes, thank you so much for being here. As always, guys, I want to remind you that you can find my podcast on iTunes and on Spotify. And remember as well to subscribe so you can be updated for a brand new episode. I'm going to have another guest next week. It's going to be exciting as well because she's got very interesting stories to share with all of you guys. As always, thank you for tuning in, and peace.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.